Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your being and your being our protector, your being our savior, and your being our sustainer. We confess that we are sinners before you. Without your grace, we can't be standing here, but because of your grace, we are here. We thank you for that. We ask for your holy presence here to minister to us so that we will be able to respond to your Holy Spirit and your heart. May this worship service continue to be given to you, solely given to you, to your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Crisis is an opportunity, and the worst is never the worst. This is how Jesus views our life. In many cultures, people view that sickness is tied with sin. When we see sick people, we often wonder why that person has that sickness. He must have done something wrong. How terrible that is. And he does not have faith in God. If he prayed with faith, he would have been healed. You know, these are some words that we may say toward the sick people. And we don't often do anything about the sick people after we judge them. Jesus has a different view toward the sick people. How does Jesus view the sick people? This is an interesting question to ask. And his view is very different from ours. Let us find out how Jesus dealt with a sick person. And from that, we'll see how Jesus' ministry manifests the glory of God. This morning, I'd like you to turn with me to Gospel of John chapter 9. Gospel of John chapter 9, we are going to read verses 1 through 7. Here is the word of God. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. And so he went away and washed and came back seeing. This story is about a blind man who begged all his life as he was born blind. This man has never seen the light ever, not even a single moment. And he did not even understand what light is, as all he knew was pitch dark. There is a game called a blind game. I don't know whether you play this or not. This game is played in a dark room without the lights. A tagger is selected and a sleeping mask is put on that person. And tagger person would go outside and count to 60 and come back to the room that is pitch dark. And then the tagger person would try to find anyone he can find by touching. For this blind man in the story, he was playing this blind game, not for fun, but for survival all his life. How many times has this man fallen down, tripped, and even fallen into the water? And how many times has this man been mocked, made fun of by the spectators? You know, each moment of his life must have been very, very painful. And we can only imagine his severe hardship. And in the Jewish mind, sin and suffering are closely related to each other. When someone is sick, they tend to tie the sickness with the sins of that person, or even those of the parental generation. So as Jesus continued to minister to the people in Jerusalem, he was passing by, and a certain blind person was caught up in his eyes. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. And he, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" You know, apparently, disciples of Jesus were not much different from the mainstream Jewish thought in thinking that sickness is closely tied with sin. You know, we cannot blame them because actually there are quite a few Old Testament Bible verses that talk about that. For instance, Exodus 25, when God gave, you know, Ten Commandments, he said this: "You shall not worship them or serve them, for the Lord, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me." So the sins of the parents can impact their children's generation. And this Exodus verse does not explicitly say about sickness as the consequence of, the children would suffer because of the sins of the parents. It is rather a general statement that children can suffer because of parental sins. So with this backdrop, the disciples' question to Jesus reveals their thinking that the man born blind must have tied with his own sin or that of his parents. With this backdrop, however, Jesus was speaking a very different thing in verse 3. Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him." You know, here, let me clarify. Jesus is not making a general statement, but he's making this statement in a particular situation for this man born blind, that he is not because of his own sin or his parents' sin that he was born blind. He made it very clear. And he's saying as if, don't get caught up too much with the general statement about the relationship between sin and suffering. This particular case, I would say that there is no cause and effect because of anyone's sin. That's basically what Jesus is saying. This was actually rather a shocking statement in many senses, but I can think of two ways why this was a shocking statement. Firstly, Jesus seemed to have known this man's particular situation, declaring that neither this man nor his parents sinned. So he knew about not only this generation, but previous generation of this man's family. And secondly, Jesus presented a radically different perspective. It was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. You know, Jesus does not necessarily contradict himself by saying this from the Old Testament teaching. The Old Testament teaching is focused on the general notion that the cause of suffering, especially sickness, may have to do with sin. But here Jesus is seeing another dimension of sickness. Rather than focusing on the cause of sickness, he is highlighting the purpose of a sickness, why someone is sick. And Jesus saying as if this man's affliction, being born blind, gives an opportunity of showing what God can do with that person to his glory. So Jesus is talking about opportunity. He's not looking at the problem itself and why the problem happened. But he's saying, given the problem, what God can do to this man. That is Jesus' emphasis. Jesus is not contradicting, but he's highlighting on different aspects, which is today's topic, God's glory. God's glory. God can do something to this born blind man to show his glory. So this is the first point I'd like to make this morning. Man's affliction can be God's opportunity to show his glory. Crisis is not just crisis, but crisis always point to an opportunity. The worst is never the worst. A lot of people think that what can be worse than being born blind? But Jesus is seeing the potential that this is not worst. There is a better, as God may touch him and heal him. So man's affliction can be God's opportunity to show his glory. So Jesus is emphasizing what God can do. In Mark 1:41, Jesus saw a leper and his compassion arose. And out of his compassion, Jesus healed the leper. In John's gospel, there is no mention of compassion. However, there is no real contradiction here. Glory of God may be fueled by the compassion of God behind the sins. What is glory? Let's think about glory. Glory is terms that we use a lot, but what is glory? Glory is about the display of God's characters. Many times in the Bible, glory displays God's power and God's holiness. And it is also true, glory displays God's love and God's compassion. And it is also true, glory displays God's judgment. When he judged the world, actually, it is to his glory because God manifests his holy character. So, the being fueled by his love and compassion, Jesus healed this man by giving him light to his eyes. Years ago, when we went to some conference, we encountered a man who was blind. This was, I believe he was born blind, if I remember correctly. And, he wanted God to heal him. And there was one pastor in his village who carries him one conference to another. For an opportunity that God may heal him. At that time in the conference, God didn't heal him, but he did not give his hope that someday God may heal him so that he can see the light of the world. So I can see how hard his life must have been. He can't see anything. He has to be assisted by someone else all the time. And I see the compassion of that pastor who carries him, one conference to another. He has a full-time pastoral job, but he showed his love to this man. And I think that itself is showing the compassion of God through this man. So the bottom line is Jesus cares about our predicaments. And Jesus cares about this man's predicament. He was blamed for his sin and his parental sins. Physical handicap is one dimension, but there's another dimension. It's a shame. Shame is another unbearable stigma. And in a strict honor and shame culture like the Jewish culture in Jesus' generation, the first century Judea, this man born blind must have suffered in all dimensions, as I said, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, because of the shame that he feel from people's judgment on him and his parents. And Jesus saw that. Jesus saw that this guy carried a lot of shame in him. And by declaring, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, Jesus was restoring this man's dignity while healing this man's shame inside out. When this blind man heard the word of Jesus, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents. I believed his heart was already being healed. His heart already see the light, although his physical healing came after. The image of God in him, Imago Dei, was restored from inside out. And each person is created after God's image. And Jesus' purpose of his mission on earth is to declare who each person was originally and should be in the presence of God. Imago Dei is the image of God that was given to each person, each man and woman God made. And generation after Adam and Eve, we have this image of God. Unfortunately, that image of God has been lost for many, many years. And the mission of Jesus is to restore that. You are a valuable being. You are taken after God's image. That word, when Jesus preached to this man today, this man's heart was being lightened up. And he sees some hope. His shame was relieved. And it is Jesus' mission to restore this status for each one of us. And I believe that day, this blind man was restored to see himself, the image of God in him, with the word of Jesus, even before he was able to see the light by his eyes. So this healing is a complete healing. It's not just a physical healing. Jesus cares about our emotion, our heart, and our physique. In all dimensions, because he created it all. So driven by compassion, Jesus displayed God's glory in restoring this man to be the man who ought to be before God and man. So this is a second the principle I'd like to share this morning. God does not so fully reveal his glory as when he reveals his compassion. God does not so fully reveal his glory as when he reveals his compassion. Moses, for 40 years, he was a completely forgotten man in the desert of Midian. When he committed a murder and he fled away, he lived in a complete obscure life. Nobody called for him, nobody cares about him, nobody liked him. But one day, God showed up in the burning bush, and God showed his glory. But behind God's glory that he was showing, there was a compassion of God toward Moses. And Moses' life was never the same from that day that he encountered God of compassion. God displayed his glory, but it was actually God's compassion. So God does not so fully reveal his glory as when he reveals his compassion. And Jesus was passed, another passersby of the Siloam, and then many people just passed by, and looking at this bone-blind man, they don't want to do anything with this man because he is, first of all, sinner. And the Jewish people are not supposed to touch sinner or speak sinner and separate themselves from the sinful person. But Jesus, out of his compassion, I believe, and he decided to minister to him, and he restored this man's vision and this man's dignity, the imago Dei, image of God in him. So let's look at verses 4 to 7. And Jesus said, "We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes. And he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. And so he went away and washed and came back seeing. You know, Jesus healed this man in a very strange way. If you notice that he spat on the ground and made the watery liquid with the clay and put this clay to his eyes. You know, what do you imagine when Jesus did this? You know, it's my personal view, but I see the resemblance of this sin when God made Adam out of the dust, out of the clay. You know, Jesus is remaking his eyes from the clay of the ground. It's a recreation. I don't think this man has any glimpse of hope, physically speaking, to regain his sight. God, Jesus is remaking his eye, basically. When this man was washed in the pool of Siloam, this man was healed. And he saw the light for the first time in his life. But before this healing, Jesus declared in verse 5, "I am the light of the world." You know, what does that mean? Why is Jesus saying that? You know, this man is seeing the light now, and light is nothing but Jesus himself. You know, this man later saw Jesus again and confessed that Jesus is the Lord and believed in him. Let's jump to verses 35 to 38. Gospel of John 9, 35 to 38. This is a conclusion part of this episode. Jesus heard that they had put him out and finding him, and he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered and said, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. This is the third point I'd like to elaborate based on the last passage. The proper response to the glory of God is faith and worship. The proper response to the glory of God is faith and worship. You know, this man was able to see the things in the world because Jesus gave him a light to his eyes. But that must not be the end of the story. There is a more than physical healing, seeing the light here. The story ends with a beautiful picture. This man confessed Jesus as his Lord and worshipped him. This man is now not only seeing the light in the world, but now seeing Jesus, who is the light of the world. He is seeing the things in the world because Jesus is the light of the world. Unless Jesus is light of the world, This man may see the things in the world, but actually he's still blind, spiritually speaking. But he's now seeing the things and seeing that the source of this light, the things that he sees is Jesus himself, light of the world. Jesus is light of the world. And God is glorified when his creation believes and worships him. You know, the proper response to the glory of God is faith and worship. You know, God honors your faith. You know, when you believe in him, there's a celebration in heaven. God is so glorified. God is so satisfied when his creation make a decision to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. So there's opportunity that we can always glorify God by believing in him and worshiping him. It's an amazing thing if you come to think of it. We can glorify God by worship and by believing. Even small faith glorifies God. Let's recall verse 4 that Jesus said early on, we must work the works of him who sent me. As long as it is day, night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You know, what does that mean? While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Is Jesus in the world now? No. Does that mean Jesus is no longer light of the world? No, that doesn't say that. This does not mean Jesus is no longer light of the world, because he's not just he's not just with us any longer, physically speaking. This means we need to take him as our Savior when there is still opportunity, because such opportunity may not always be available. You know, work must be done. Jesus has done his work, and he completed his mission on the cross, and he died for our sins, and he became our Redeemer and Savior to those who believe in him, just as the man in this story. But in the story, if you read chapter 9, there were Pharisees. They were able to see physically, but they were spiritually blind because they did not take Jesus as Lord and their Savior. Jesus was not still light of the world in their mind. They were still blind. So don't be like the Pharisees. They see the things of the world, yet they fail to see Jesus as the light of the world. They remain spiritually blind. And their days have passed already. They are gone. They lose that opportunity, and they never see the light of the world in their life. So open your eyes of the heart and see Jesus, who is the light of the world. And when you see Jesus, believe in him, and God is glorified. And decision must be taken from our part while it is still day before the night comes down. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, shed your Shekinah glory to each one of us this morning. For those who have not confessed Jesus as the Lord and Savior, let this light come, Shekinah glory come, and enlighten the heart so that the response of faith is taking place from the bottom of the heart. And Father, for those who confess Jesus as Lord and Savior already, let us recognize that our time is limited. When the time expires, there's no more opportunity that we can show we can display, we can share the glory of Jesus to this world before those night comes. Let us diligently do the work of God, work of Jesus commissioned to this church and individually to each one of us. Father, we thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your glory that shared and manifested and revealed. Jesus is the light of the world, and he is the source, and he is the creator. And let each one's life be set apart and be completely sold out to sell this beauty of Jesus to this world, to bring more people to your heavenly kingdom. And use us mightily, give us courage and your power. There is nothing that we should be afraid of, because Jesus is with us. He is the light of the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I will kneel in the dust at the foot of the cross, where mercy paid for me, where the wrath I deserve, it is gone, it has passed, your mercy paid. Mercy, mercy as endless as the sea. I sing your hallelujah for all eternity. We will lift up the cup and the bread. Right.
Thank you for your mercy. Because of your mercy, we would not end up in the hell as we believe in Jesus Christ. But more, there is a grace of God. We don't deserve to be in heaven in your kingdom, to be with you forever, but because of your grace, we are moved from hell to heaven. We just want to thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love and your compassion. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.